Leah?
Interview with Jane Shaffron on using YouTube as a marketing strategy. So welcome, Jane.
Great to chat with you today.
Yes. Let me give Jane just a little brief introduction. I've known her for probably, is it about 5 or 6 years now?
About 5 years, I think.
About 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We worked together for a little while, and I remember the first time that Jane sent me a link to their YouTube sample videos, and I was just blown away by the quality of her work and Peter's work, and have eagerly awaited the samples being announced in my email box ever since. So I wanted to interview Jane about what it's been like using YouTube as a marketing strategy, how they do that, you know, how they put things up. And I also found out recently that she also uses, is it pronounced Vimeo?
That's
is that
correct,
right,
Vimeo.
Jane? Mm-hmm. Vimeo. Okay, so she's also going to talk about that, share that with us. So, Jane, why don't I give you the opportunity to introduce yourself and your business, and then we'll get started with the questions.
Okay. Well, thanks, Deanne. My business is Your Story Here Video Biography, and it's a business that my husband and I own. This is our full-time business, and we create bespoke personal history documentaries. So they're completely custom personal history documentaries is sort of what we call them. It's always hard in this industry to think of the right name for what we do, but, you know, video biographies, personal history documentaries, genealogy video. And we create them for families, and it's usually for their mum and dad, and usually for, often for an event, for, you know, an 80th birthday, 90th birthday, sometimes for a wedding anniversary, sometimes because they love mum and dad, and sometimes because there's an urgent need to do something about preserving the story because mum or dad has got a serious illness. So there's lots of different triggers for why somebody wants to do a video biography at a particular time. So as well as those, we also create tribute videos. The way I sort of differentiate perhaps between a video biography and a tribute video is that often, but not always, the person who's been for whom the tribute video is being created may not know about it. So they're often done for birthdays or retirements or some other event. And often other people apart from the honoree are being interviewed about that person. We also create video memorials, which are usually comprised of photos. So they're sort of a really nice photo montage, but we try to celebrate someone's life and tell their story through the photographs, and sometimes that includes video if the family's fortunate enough to do that. So they're the three main products that we have sort of in the, you know, personal history collection of work.
Great. And why don't you tell them where your company is located?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. We are located in Southern California, and which, you know, is a nice place to live. And we do travel all over the United States for our clients. And I've been fortunate to, you know, been to Boston and New York and other parts of the East Coast. And then, you know, we do work a lot in the LA area and Orange mm-hmm. County area. And but we also have clients overseas, which is interesting. I just finished off a tribute video for a 60th birthday, and the person who's celebrating that birthday is in Canada. I did a project out of South Africa where I worked with a client, and we crafted and decided what the project would be for her husband's 60th birthday, and she retained a local videographer to do the filming. Her budget didn't go quite that far to have us fly to South Africa. And then we put the project together here, and then she viewed it using Vimeo. We made some edits and then sent the final DVDs for her. So we have worked with clients overseas, and it's sort of the wonderful thing about technology that people can send us the material in different, you know, different ways, and we can do it all from little, you know, Southern California.
Yes. Yes, isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It is amazing.
Okay. So let me just launch in with a beginning question. Like, how soon after you started your business did you start posting samples on YouTube and or
okay.
on Vimeo?
Okay. Well, we started our business in 2007 and we joined YouTube in May of that year, so 2007. So we've had a YouTube channel for just over 5 years. And Vimeo was probably more recent, and we have 76 current pieces on YouTube and 64 video samples on Vimeo. And we use the sites a little bit differently. YouTube, Vimeo is often but not always private clips. So I usually use Vimeo for projects, for the tribute videos and the video memorial projects where they're not publicly viewed. And so we send the clients a link and they're password protected. For Vimeo, so that's sort of how we mostly use Vimeo. And then also for YouTube, it's for pieces where the, you know, clients don't mind the clips being public. And they tend to be the videography projects, not exclusively, but mainly the videography projects go on Vimeo.
Okay. So I've always thought that your clips are just excellently done. I've never seen one that I didn't wish I could see the rest of the video. How do you create that reaction in your viewers when you're only showing pieces of the whole? Just good editing?
Well, you know, we do have a strategy. I mean, good editing is assumed. But thanks for that. I mean, what we want to do in those clips is really create some excitement. Excitement for the families. You know, they've invested in creating this project. So we want to make them really excited about the project. So we give them a little snippet, like a sneak preview of what they can expect. And we do want also to introduce the subject of the video in a way that we want the people to keep watching, because, you know, these projects may be viewed after the person's passed away, you know, 20 mm-hmm. years down the track. We don't know what's going to happen with them. And so you want the person, when they play it, to keep watching. So we do want to create some excitement, some emotion, and we will, you know, use some of our best material in that opening clip just to make sure that everybody's, you know, the family's excited about it, and that the person watching about this person wants to find out more. And your reaction made me smile, because that's exactly what we want people to say. We want them to watch more of this, because this might just be a 3 to 5 minute clip and the finished product might be between 40 and 60 minutes. So we want them to keep watching.
That's right. That's right. And poor us that have no legitimate reason to watch the rest of them. So especially with YouTube, do people who are looking at the video then pass them around to other people, like their friends and family?
Yes, that's exactly right. And some of them do go a little bit viral. And I really like it when the client, you know, I always, you know, wonder whether they've watched them, and you see those numbers creeping up as you know that they've been passing them around to the family to watch. And and it's also fun for them, you know, to see a little bit of grandma or grandpa's on YouTube and the grandkids get to watch it. It's a really great way of connecting the generations. And I really like to get the feedback. You know, I had a project recently which was sort of, I might just tell you a little bit about this project, because it was one where the family wasn't really sure what they wanted to do. They knew that they wanted to get their mum's story. Their mum was 95. And the family didn't quite have the budget to do a full-blown documentary project. And so we were just doing what I call my vanilla project, just recording the story. Your mum's 95. We don't have time. We need to get her story recorded. And then we actually did a short edited piece and sent it to them, hoping to excite them about the possibility of what you could do with this great material. And I had my client call me, and he said, "I've had family members in tears watching this video. We need to get you to do the whole thing." So that was really what I wanted them to do, was say, "Look, your mum's precious. This is just great material. You can't not edit it. I mean, you've got 4 or 5 hours of interview material, which is great, but let us edit it, because you've got some wonderful material here." And that's in fact what they ended up getting us to do. It wasn't there in their initial budget, but by using YouTube, we were able to excite the family, and that piece, that short clip we made for them, went all over the country.
Wow. So when you are about to post something on YouTube, do you get permission from the family? Because clearly other people can see it.
Yeah.
If it's
on
YouTube.
We do. You know, sometimes it's not appropriate to post material, but I could say, I think of all the clips we've posted, I think we've got 76 up there now. I think there's been one case where a family member has wanted it taken down, and that often isn't directly the client I'm dealing with. And it's, I mean, we do tell them we're doing it, and they love to have it up there because it's fun for them. And if you think about the number of clips that are on Vimeo, mostly people aren't even going to find what is up there. We have a small number of followers. I think we have 74 subscribers. It's very small. When I do promote a piece, I get permission from the client, but to have it posted up there, they're happy for it to be there.
Good. So how do you use the samples in your sales conversations or connect when you connect with new potential clients?
When I'm speaking to a potential client and I found out a little bit about the project they have in mind, I use the YouTube or the Vimeo clips to send them some samples that are similar to their project. So if I'm dealing with somebody whose mum is in their 80s, then I'll look for a project that's a bit like them, you know, what their mum's project might be like, just to give them some ideas of the different elements. If someone's really interested in a family history project, a genealogy project, I have some clips that show how we can integrate different material in addition to the video interview, how we can use photographs and maps and historical material. So I use the conversation I have with my potential clients to explore the type of project that they have in mind and see if I can provide them something that's similar, you know, just to show them what's involved, and it gives them an opportunity then to pass it on to other members of their family and to involve them in the decision making.
I remember one of your video clips involved a mother who came from the Middle East, and you told part of her story watching her cook some ethnic foods. Do you remember that one? Yes, I do.
Yes, she had an Armenian background. And, you know, we're always trying to find the storyline and try to find a way to celebrate someone's story and bring it to life.
Yes.
That's what I like to do. How can I bring this story to life? And that was an example where Alice, who was 86 at the time, was making some Armenian little meat pies. I forget what she called them. But so we filmed her in the kitchen making them and talking a little bit about her Armenian heritage.
And I can imagine you can use that type of video when you're talking to other people who come from another other than American background.
Exactly. And so many people who are interested in having these projects made do have an immigration story there. So that's just one of the ways that you can suggest to them that they might be able to bring their story to life.
So when you're talking to a potential client, and I imagine there's several different ways, over the phone, face-to-face, how do you bring the samples to them? Do you send them the links? Do you try to be there when they're watching the samples so you can talk about it? What do you do?
Well, I do both. I have a lot of samples downloaded onto my iPad, and so when I'm meeting a client face-to-face, I can bring my iPad, which I absolutely love. I'm used to, of course, you know, have samples on my laptop, but, you know, you're pulling DVDs in and out, and, you know, even if I do have some DVDs which are, you know, dedicated samples, so I don't have to keep putting various DVDs in, but it's slow. And the beauty of having an iPad, especially, you have to be inside, though, because it doesn't do well in direct sun. But you can just pull your iPad out and you can just flip around and show people a different sample. So I can do it face-to-face on my iPad, or if I'm if it's an inquiry and I'm dealing with someone over the phone, then I ask for their email. So it's a good way of getting the conversation open, that you say, oh, can I have your email? I can send you some samples to have a look at. And so it's a good way of getting their email and then staying in touch with them during the sales process.
So generally speaking, if you're showing them the videos, what is their response to it? Is it a real high selling point?
That's an interesting question. You know, it depends on the individual. I do get a lot of people who you know, say, who really love our work, and they are very complimentary of it. And so a lot of people have been to my website before they call me. So for people who find us online, they have been to our web page, they've been to YouTube, they've looked at our page, they've looked at other people's pages. So they come and say, I really like your work. You know, they pay me compliments. Mm-hmm. So for those people, you know, I may not need to send them any samples, but a lot of people have already seen our work before they
ever
pick up the phone.
You.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That probably helps send them to the phone then too, yes, I would imagine. So do you notice that the videos affect your sales process in any other way? And if so, how? You know, what happens when potential – well, we kind of answered that. What happens when potential clients see the videos? They tend to pick up the phone and call. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make it a little easier when you have to talk about the cost of a project? Are they excited about the project at that point? And
yeah, I think so. I think because if they've seen the video, they know the different elements that are going to be involved in putting it together. So it does make it easier if they have seen the video. Yes, not always,
right.
But yes, yeah, depends.
But yes,
mostly yes. Mm.
So in other areas of your marketing, in what ways do you make people aware that there are videos of yours on YouTube?
Oh, good question.
How do you make a point of that?
Okay. Well, you know, it's like any marketing. It's always a question of how you can get people to pay attention to your product and services. So we try to do it in a number of different ways. Perhaps the most effective use is by I use MailChimp to send out my electronic newsletters, which I do every other month. And I usually try to include a link to a recent project in that. So I can promote some of our videos through that electronic newsletter. I can also use it in some of the articles that we've written, whether
can
it's
I
on
interrupt
Hub pages.
You for just a second
yes.
with a question?
Yeah.
And how do you get more and more people on your newsletter list?
Okay.
How are you?
Well, two ways. One, on my web page, I have a on each page I have at the bottom of my web page, you know, get our bi-monthly email newsletter, and mm-hmm. then it's done all through MailChimp, which is like Constant Contact, and it's automatically done, so people can subscribe to the newsletter through my website, and that's all done through MailChimp. So I do receive a notification when somebody has signed up to receive the email newsletter. And then the other way is just through, you know, new clients and contacts that I receive, you know, from networking. I'll ask people, are you interested to receive my newsletter? And so, you know, just the normal ways, trying to build up the readership through whatever way that you can. And so it's a variety of different ways to build up that readership.
Okay, so if people find you on YouTube by accident, say, is there a way for them to find out about your website and go back that direction?
Good question. There is a link on my YouTube page to my web page, and there is also a link to Facebook, and it has a phone number. So on YouTube, you can include information about your company on your YouTube page.
Curious because of my marketing curiosity. Does it also have any kind of a call to action? Like, do you offer a free consultation or anything like that?
Oh, gee, you've just given me some ideas. No, I don't think so. That's a good idea. I'm taking a note here.
Okay, taking a note. Well, I think that would be good because if people find you on YouTube and they're really impressed, which I think anybody would be, and they want to explore more about one for their family.
I've just got call us on the phone number and visit our website. So I don't have a, I don't say anything about that. So it's a very good tip. I'm glad we're chatting today.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything else to say about your experience with YouTube? Have there, are there any pros and cons between YouTube and Vimeo? Are there any pros and cons to just posting the videos? Well, we've talked about the pros, but...
Yeah, I think you. I think that if you're in the video world, you need to have a YouTube channel. You need to be on YouTube. And it is one of the most common, you know, it is one of the most common or favorite search engines is YouTube. So people go to YouTube to find out all sorts of things. So it's good to be on, you need to be on YouTube. Vimeo, actually, the video quality on Vimeo is better, but it's not so readily searched. So again, we use it for clients. It's really helpful for us and gives us an opportunity to differentiate projects that we don't want to have on Vimeo. So you can imagine, have on YouTube. It's like your public face, and then other sites like Vimeo, you can have it more for client services. It doesn't stop me using it in my marketing. I can certainly use it in my marketing, but really I feel YouTube's more of the public face of the business.
So would you be able to say that there, how much of a percentage of your business comes because you have these things on YouTube or Vimeo? Or how much of your business is affected by the fact that you have things on YouTube? Is there any new project these days that you do that someone hasn't gone to look at those before they sign on?
I would say very few. I think everybody goes and checks it out at some point before they decide to go ahead and retain it for a project.
100%.
So, yeah, I think so. And I also, if they haven't been to YouTube, in my signature for my emails, I include a link to my webpage and to my YouTube channel, so people are getting that constantly to have a look at it. I mean, in video, it's the way to go. People need to be able to see the sort of work you've done. So I think it's a fabulous marketing tool to have.
You know, I didn't think to ask this, but is there any cost to having your own YouTube channel?
No. There's no charge.
That's great. Okay,
yeah.
So
there is a small charge on Vimeo to upgrade. We have a plus channel, and I think we paid something for that.
Okay. All right. So my last question really is, what suggestions do you have for other personal historians who might want to start using YouTube as a marketing strategy?
Oh, I think you need to
get in there and get a channel.
Get up there, get in there and set up your channel. And YouTube has offered different setups. They do keep changing it, which is sort of one of the annoying things. And I guess that's with any of these free services like Facebook. Things change from time to time, so you will need to just be aware that it's not static. That they do change the setup from time to time. But, you know, it does give you some good feedback. You know, I know how many subscribers I have, how many views I've had of the video. So you know the types of ones that people are looking at, and that gives you some feedback about, you know, your services.
Great. Okay, well, can you think of anything else that I should have asked and didn't? Or did we cover it pretty thoroughly?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, you can post, you can repurpose material, and if it's on YouTube, then you can repurpose it, put it on your Facebook page. You can, you know, put a link on, I mean, I don't do all of these things as well as I should, but, you know, on LinkedIn, I mean, you can repurpose your video for your different social media and as well as the newsletters. So once you've got the material up there, it's very handy for your marketing purpose. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess the only other question I have is, do you have any services that you offer to other personal historians that you would like to mention?
Thank you for asking. Well, if APH members need any help for their video editing in any way, I mean, we're certainly happy to help out with video editing, and we do a great job with scanning and fixing up photographs, and I have helped out APH members who need some help with that. And if they, you know, want any advice on editing, or, you know, they are welcome to give me a call if they need help putting together a funeral montage. So we'd be happy to be the back end of a project. If an APH member was working on a project and they needed some back end support, we'd be happy to help out.
Okay.
And also would love referrals.
Love referrals. Sorry. Yes, of course. So why don't you one more time give your name, your company name, your phone number, and email address.
Oh, okay. Great. Well, my name is Jane Chaffron. I'm the nominations director on APH. My business is Your Story Here Video Biography. My website is yourstoryherehome.com. That's yourstoryherehome.com. And my phone number is 949-742-2755. That's 949-742-2755, and my email is yourstoryhere@cox.net.
Great. So, Jane, thank you very much.
It's fun talking to you as always. Okay.
Stay on the line for a moment. I'm going to turn off the recording.